chapter number 1. Can we switch over on the doing that? Okay. James chapter 1, verses 19 through 21. Excuse me, I need to deposit my gum. I've gotten into a habit of chewing gum, and I forgot I had it in my mouth this morning. Forgive me. Hallelujah to God. If you were on the web this week looking for our sermon from last week, wasn't there. We had a wonderful, wonderful service last week. The Holy Spirit showed up in such a way, it was just amazing. And we prayed for people, and people got blessed, and some laid down on the floor, and some laughed, and some clapped. And God did a wonderful thing here. We had an anointing service. Some of you had to go home and wash all the oil out of your hair, and, you know. But I pretty much behaved myself, and I can't say for the other teams that were praying. I don't know if they behaved themselves or not. So whatever was going to be preached last week, welcome to it for this week. James chapter 1, verses 19 through 21. We're doing our series on applied Christianity. If you look at our, back it up. I just really want to, I really looked hard to find that picture. I think sometimes our communication needs a little bit of work. I think sometimes we need to work on. Now, I got to say this. I'll tell you this as a clinical counselor. If people are screaming at each other, at least they're communicating. It's not the most comfortable form of communication, but even screaming beats silence. Amen? Hallelujah. Christianity, as you know, is a matter of a journey of going from what we were to what we were intended to be. It's to deal with our weaknesses and our shortcomings and make us into the complete person that we were created to be from the very beginning. If you could take a look at the original blueprint for your life, which there was one before the foundation of the world was laid, you would see something that's probably a little bit, or depending on who you are, radically different than what you see in the mirror. But God's job, God's will and want, is to take you from what you are in the mirror and make you into what you were meant to be from the very beginning. Amen? Because in that state of original state, you would find yourself healthy. You would find yourself complete. You would find yourself happy. You would find yourself fulfilled. Amen? I heard something on the radio today. I just got to share this with you. I couldn't help but say amen to it. It was just so good. There, I love people who spend my tax money to find these things out. But what they found out with yours and my tax money is that the more we have, the less fulfilled we are. I said, well, duh. You know, I could have done that and not spent nearly as much money as they did. But they've actually did the study that the more choices, this was the specific, the more choices we have, the less content we are with what we already have. Amen? So instead of looking around and saying, I am a blessed human being. Look, I got a place to live. I got a car to drive. I got clothes on my back. We're busy looking at what's on sale at the stores. And I visited one of my students the other day, and we're walking You got to be careful with camp counselors. I went to the camp, and as I got there, they said, we're going to go for a little walk. 5 miles later, I told them, there's a difference between a walk and a hike. So, well, you got an old guy like me that's a little bit, somewhat overweight. You got to warn me the difference. But during this walk, my boy looks at me and says, oh, yeah, Mommy and Daddy are looking for a new house to live in. I said, oh, that's really pretty cool. Then I find out by talking to the parents, this boy who's 7, 8 years old, has decided his house is not big enough or good enough for him. So he's looking through all the magazines, and his father said, the problem is, George, said he won't look at anything less than $1.6 million. I said, you got a problem. Nothing personal, but I'm glad that's not my problem. Yeah. But here's a child. This is the point I want to make. Here's a child growing up in a nice home. Two loving parents, a brother, got just about everything a child could want or need, but he's not satisfied because they don't live in a $1.5 million home. That to me is sad. We are meant to be a fulfilled people. Part of being fulfilled is learning how to communicate. If this is your form of communication here on the overhead, God love you, but I don't think that's very fulfilling for you. Okay? So turn with me to James chapter 1. James is probably one of the most practical books I've ever read. I would definitely say the most practical in the Bible. I just don't know. I'm asking her to change it, and I've got the clicker. Got to love technology. James chapter 1, verse 19 through 21 talks about communication. Now, remember, we've already been on a short trip through James. We had a longer trip through Colossians before that. All dealing with personal issues, things that we can have addressed by the Holy Spirit and improve upon. Amen? Wherefore, my beloved brethren, an old preacher told me a long time ago, he said, you see the word wherefore or therefore? It means the same thing. Always stop and read it real close to find out what it's there for. Therefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore or therefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Now, I want to say real quick here as a sidebar, we're not talking about salvation here. The word souls here has to do with our thoughts and our emotions and our feelings. Most of us who are born again, or all of us who are born again, we know that spiritually we're okay. That's not the part that gives me the most trouble. Amen? My spirit's just fine. I'm born again. Where I have problems and is where my brain takes me, where my words lead me, where my feelings intersect those two, that's where I have the problem. We're told here by James, who's talking to people who have been run out of town, and this is the dispersity of the Jews who had to leave because of their belief in Christ. He said, if you have received the word of God, it's able to save that part of you that's giving you so much trouble. For those who don't care for King James, let's try the Amplified. When I read superfluity of naughtiness, I figured I better find another translation to help you out with. Understand this, my beloved brethren. Let every man, be quick to hear and ready listener, slow to speak, slow to take offense and get angry. Do I need to read that part again? I couldn't hardly get past that sentence myself. I was really struggling there. Being slow to take offense and to get angry. For man's anger does not promote the righteousness of God's wishes and what he requires. So get rid of all uncleanliness and the rampant outgrowth of wickedness. That sure beats superfluity of naughtiness any day, doesn't it? The rampant outgrowth of wickedness, and in a humble, gentle, and modest spirit, receive and welcome the word which implanted and rooted in your heart contains the power to save your souls. Oh my goodness. Hallelujah. To have the relief, to have the freedom, to not be bound by thoughts, to not be bound by the things that are crushing in on us. I can't imagine God not wanting us to be free from that. I can't imagine a human being not wanting to be free from those things. Amen? I heard a man say one time, it was kind of one of these really challenging type things, says, what part of you is most like the devil? Well, he was preaching the scripture where Jesus looked and says, you are of your father, the devil. He said, what part of you is most like the devil? And of course, that just got everyone. Well, someone just yelled out mine. That's a biggie right there. It's the soul. We are born again. We are working on the outside, but God is working on the inside, wanting to take care of and work on these issues that cause us heartache and trouble. Mankind, in our wisdom, we've developed a thing called communication theory. Hallelujah. It's actually one of the disciplines of the behavioral sciences. Now, the only reason I know that, because that's what I work in all day long during the week. I work in the behavioral sciences, okay? And this whole idea is basically a phenomenon of recent times, or the titling of it anyway. But the art of effective communication, this is old as time. Amen? This is not something new. You know, God bless all these people, these books I have to read, things I have to deal with. God bless them. They think they've discovered something new. Hallelujah. Thousands of years before they wrote their book, there was another one written that shows us what communication theory is all about. There is no doubt at all, in any way, shape, or form, that God is the most perfect and effective communicator of all the universes. Can someone say amen? No one is more clear. No one is more able to articulate. No one is more able to lead you from point A to point B than God. Hallelujah. I've sometimes asked for, but by the way, I'm not the typical male. I will stop and ask for directions. Mainly because I hate being lost more than I hate asking for directions. But have you ever asked for directions and you get back to the car and you go, huh? The person who was directing was not an effective communicator. I cannot help but remember the first time after moving to Georgia. I stopped. I was actually at a parishioner's house. How do I get to the next place? And you'll appreciate this, Mr. Truck Driver. The woman said, well, you go down there, and you turn left. You go down two dips. As you go up over top of the hill, there's a red barn on the right-hand side. Don't turn there. Just keep on going straight. And I went in the car, looked at my wife, and went, huh? And I had to go back and say, could you? I don't have a good memory. I fibbed. Well, anyway. I said, can you draw me a map? That's the only way I could find it. When we ask God for direction, we should not have to sit back down and go, huh? Because God is an effective communicator, and he shares his abilities with us. Turn to your neighbor and say, God's got help for you. Go ahead. It should be no surprise that within the context of the Bible, highly, some of y'all can't look around without cracking a joke. I seen you look at each other and just start laughing. Don't take it personal if you're on the receiving end of that. You guys look at me that way all the time. It should not be any surprise with this perfect communicator that we have as a God that he would share his thoughts on communication within the book that he gave us to lead us from what we presently are to where we were meant to be, called the Holy Bible. And it doesn't surprise me any that James would add that would be added in James' book because it's a very practical book, okay? Verse 19 of what we read, be swift to hear. The first thing to tell you about communication is y'all got to listen. I hope that silence means you're listening. Hallelujah. If we're going to communicate anything with anybody, we got to find out what the need of communication is. If we just go in there, and I have to raise my hand that too many times I've done this, we just go in and we start giving counsel and advice, and we don't even know what the person's problem is yet. We go by assumption. We just start talking. The first thing we're told to do is to slow down and listen. Now, where did I get that idea from, you would ask? Well, I have an answer for you. You knew I would. In Psalms chapter 66, God listens to us. Now, that's revelation for some people. Some of you just looked at me quizzically. God listens to us. God actually hears us. When you talk to God, when you pray, when you yell out, when you whatever you, God's listening. Amen. You may not think it at the moment. You may not feel it. God hears every time you close your eyes at night, couldn't sleep because you were worried. You said, oh my God, God was there to hear you. Every time you guys had to take a test in school, I'm sorry, 2 weeks is coming back again. And every time you said, that had to have been a parent who said that. But every time you sat down and looked at that exam, went, oh my God, God said, huh? He's there to listen to us. He's there when we have a heartache. He's there to share when we're filled with joy. God is a listening God. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. This is personal testimony. This is a sidebar here in the book of Revelation. It says, they, meaning the people, overcame him, that was the enemy, by the word, the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. The most important and powerful weapon you have is what God has already done for you. So I don't know how to preach. Don't have to. I know you know how to talk. You do it all the time. We all do. All we got to do is tell somebody, you know what, I used to be this way, now I'm this way. You don't have to be a theologian. I cried unto him with my mouth, and I was extolled, and he was extolled with my tongue. He opened our mouth, and God had the ear open. That's all that means. God is listening. I remember just recently I was sharing with somebody in the church the whole idea of the prodigal. I said, you know, God didn't come running. The prodigal's father didn't come running, but he was a-looking. He was standing guard. He was looking for When's he coming home? When's he coming home? I assume, Brother Dave, he'd been praying. I assume he'd been God sent my boy home. But when the boy came home, Daddy seen it. When we open our mouth, God hears it. Hallelujah. You never get a huh from God. He's always ready. I'll talk about that in a minute. He's always ready. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Well, that's another sermon. But verily, God hath heard me. Listen to this. Listen to this. I'm not trying to turn God into a servant, but listen to this. This is great. But verily, God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God. Now, I'm not talking about some kind of, you know, genie in a bottle thing, but the Word of God declares, King David declared, he heard me and he moved upon what he heard. That's what attend means. Oh God, I need help. He's right there saying, here I am. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. Hallelujah. I'm not going to go into a long thing here today. But the bottom line is, God's mercy is constantly flowing. David said, if I'm involved in sin, God's not hearing me. But the mercy is there. If we'll cry out, say, God, I'm in sin. Take a moment before you pray to say, God, wash me and cleanse me. Take a few moments, okay? Take a dip in that, in the mercy of God. Hallelujah. Among all the wonderful attributes that God has, this one overwhelms me. He's listening to me. He's listening. God does not have office hours. Hallelujah. Do you ever try to call somebody and it's 2 minutes to four? You know they pushed that button 2 minutes early because they're not going to answer that because they know that call is going to take at least 7 minutes. Hallelujah. Don't ask me how I know that. I'm sorry. You have to call back during office hours. Can you imagine being in prayer? You're about to crash your automobile or lose your home or your kids are sick. Oh, God, please call back at a more appropriate time. God is always on. He's always got his game on. He's ready. Hallelujah. You don't need an appointment. Say two prayers and call me in the morning. Hallelujah. I was in the hospital with a young man the other day. He hurt himself badly and was told he couldn't see a doctor until Monday morning. Excuse me. I'm broken up now. I want someone to see this thing. Now, don't tell me to make an appointment, come back on Monday. Hallelujah. God doesn't have appointments. And he's never, someone say never, never too busy. Now, I apologize to someone this morning. I got a phone call the other day. I'm not going to say who it was. Someone called looking for some advice, looking for some counsel. The problem was, Brother Dave, when the phone rang and my wife picked it up, I was sound asleep. I was napping. I'd had one of those days, and I found my off button. It was in the seat of my pants because the moment it hit the chair, boom, I was off. And I was sound asleep. My wife walks in and says, here, and sticks it. And I got to tell you, the person can tell you if they want to later, but the first few moments of counseling weren't the best. Because I was trying to, first of all, who the heck are you? Why are you bothering me? All these thoughts. God's never napping. I've never yet, no matter what time of day or night, found God going, oh, well, what do you want? Hallelujah. And you know, I don't know if I do this on the phone. I do it all the time. You try to act like you're wide awake. The person knows you're not because you're stumbling over your words. You got sleep in your mouth. Come on, Pastor. I know you were sleeping. Anyway, God also communicates by being touched by our feelings. Anybody here doesn't have feelings? If you don't have feelings, I'll let you know right now. Yes, you do. You just may not be aware of them. Okay? I want you to think about something here for just a moment. And then you can go back to not thinking if you wish. Jesus traveled the same roads of the other people of his time, yet he saw and he heard needs that everyone else missed. I want you to think about that for a moment. He walked through the crowds. Woman's pushing his way through. Crowd's saying, leave him alone. He stopped. What's going on? Who touched me? You almost got to think about that. He's being thronged with people. Anybody ever been thronged with people? You're kind of getting lost in the crowd. And Jesus walked in, and he stops. Okay, who touched me? Peter, it was probably Peter, because Peter's the most like me. Everybody said, are you kidding me? All these people, you want to know who touched you? Jesus sensed the need of the woman while everyone else missed it. Hallelujah. When he was walking down the street, he felt, he heard. There was a Samaritan woman. There was a man named Zacchaeus. There was a woman I just mentioned who touched the hem of his garment. All these people, the crowd missed. Zacchaeus climbed a tree to try to see him, and the crowd ignored him. Jesus never ignored. They didn't say anything. They didn't have to. He felt it. Perhaps Jesus, well, he had, but perhaps we need a thing called the ministry of listening. Hallelujah. Most of us, maybe not all, many but most, would probably be amazed at how much more effective we could be in our witnessing, in our counseling, in our fellowship, if we stopped talking and began listening. John chapter 10, verses 4 and 5. Listening is an important relationship for us to have with God as well. God's hearing us. Are we listening to him? John chapter 10, verses 4 and 5 says, when he put forth his own sheep, and when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, talking about the good shepherd, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Hallelujah. I want you to think just for a moment. How is it when you pick up a phone, except for caller ID, you pick up a phone and usually, if you talk to this person on a regular basis, you know who they are. You recognize the voice. Why? Because you've heard it before. You become accustomed to it. As we spend time in prayer, as we spend time fellowshipping with God, as we spend time in his word, we begin to recognize his voice. Hallelujah. The sheep in this story would not follow a strange shepherd. Sheep will stand still and die until they hear their own shepherd call them. You say, they're stupid. No, they're dedicated. They know who they're supposed to follow because that shepherd's already proved himself to them. We need to come to a place, somehow, whatever way you want to do this, somehow learn to know the voice of God. And let me help you with this. It's not just the great thunderings and God wants me to go through this and God wants me to go do that. Well, that's part of it. Maybe God just wants to say, have a nice day. Maybe God just wants to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Hallelujah. How would you parents like it here if the only time your kids came to you is when there was a big problem, or the world was falling apart, or they thought it was anyway, and you know the cell phone wouldn't work, world ended, you know. But don't you want your kids to come up once in a while and give you a hug and say, I love you? Don't you want to hear that? Young people, please don't raise your hand or look at your parents right now. But isn't it nice that once in a while to hear mom and dad just walk up and say, you know, I really like the way you do that. This whole idea, I do a lot of my job called validation. It's so important to validate people. Good job. Great job. Hallelujah. You know how many parents don't even realize what a knuckle bump is? Ask any second, third, or fourth grade boy in particular what a knuckle bump is. It makes their day. Hallelujah. Communicate. We need to learn to hear and understand and recognize God's voice. Amen? In the same way the sheep listen to the shepherd's voice, we should be listening for God's voice. If we listen, God will guide us. Hallelujah. Glory unto God. You know, I'm not going to read the whole thing. I don't think I put it on the screen, did I? No. But in 1 Kings chapter 19, it's the story of a man by the name of Elijah. And the Bible says he was having a hard day. He was having a hard lifetime. Jezebel said, I'm going to come after you. I'm going to kill you. He's out running. I mean, God had done all kinds of great things through this man. He knew the power of God. But he was having a bad day. It was all going wrong, and he ran away. Now, none of us would ever do this, but he ran away, and he copped an attitude all at the same time. I know y'all wouldn't do that. I'm just telling you in case you run into someone who, you know, has done that. He gets into a cave. He's hiding. I got to raise my hand. I've looked for a cave from time to time. Give me a place to hide. Amen. But in the cave, God found him. If y'all got a cave, I'm here to tell you right now, God knows where it is. Amen. I don't care if it's a man cave, a woman cave, or a kid cave. If you got a cave, you got a hiding place. Amen. God knows exactly where it is. God will meet you in the back room. He'll meet you in front of the refrigerator. Wherever it is you're hiding, he will find you. And he said, what are you doing here? God is just so practical. He didn't come in there with, 12 steps of theological approach to evangelism. He looked and said, what are you doing? Now, I got to say something about my relationship with God. I don't get all these. God has never spoke to me in King James. God will ask me, say, what are you doing? What are you up? That's the kind of questions by the way, when God asks me that question, I don't answer him in King James either. Hallelujah. What are you doing here? Well, everyone's out to get me. I'm the only one who serves you. I won't even talk about that at the moment. But here's what happened. The Bible says that as he's going through his hissy fit, y'all have to come from the South to know what that is. He was having a fit. He was mad at God. He was mad at everybody. And God sent all kinds of things. There was a fire and earthquake. And in all that, God wasn't in there. He couldn't hear God's voice. Sometimes we want the big stuff. We got to have someone with anointing. Yay, thus saith God. I have never been interrupted from my prayers by a voice of, yay, thus saith me. God speaks the way we speak. And by the way, if you have another language other than English, God knows it. Hallelujah. I didn't mean to look at you when I said that. Sorry. But I was thinking more of the internet than I were my Swedish friends who are sitting here today. Hallelujah. When you go visit your daughter in the next couple of months, just tell her, I'm sorry, I can't translate it into Sweden. I hope her English is doing well. Her daughter sometimes listens to us on the internet. Hallelujah. Glory unto God. The Bible said all these things, God wasn't it, but then there came a small, still voice. Hallelujah. God still whispers our names. And in that, God gave him instruction. Note, you can read it in 1 Kings when you go home if you'd like. He didn't chastise him. He didn't rebuke him. No form of correction. He simply says, go out here. I've got work for you to do. There's someone who needs to be anointed. This one needs to be touched. This one. God just says, carry on. It's not that he doesn't care what's going on in us. He simply says, there's something more important to do. Most of us talk too much and listen too little. We need to listen to those we make contact with, one, so we can understand them better. And while we're talking to people, we need to also listen for God, who can tell us how to minister to them. Hallelujah. Whether you may not have a certificate on the wall that says counselor, we're all called upon from time to time to counsel. We're all called upon to give advice. People come to us, what would you hear? What parenting advice and all kinds of people. Anybody here never been asked for advice? No, you don't have to have a piece of paper. But we need to listen to what the person's asking and then at the same time be listening to God. Hallelujah. One of the mistakes that people make in psychology, they automatically assume the person's telling them the truth. Having been a minister long before I was a counselor, I do not share that enthusiastic acceptance of everything, okay? I've learned to question. You need to listen. God listens. We need to listen to God. Verse 17. Verse 19. I'm sorry. I wrote that wrong here. Be slow to speak. Proverbs chapter 10. By the way, I did not pick that because it was a girl. I just like the colors on her dress. Proverbs. Certain translations just grab me. And this one's really kind of cool. Proverbs 10:19 says, too much talk leads to sin. Be sensible and keep your mouth shut. Loving it. 17:28 just because even fools are thought wise when they keep silent. When their mouth's shut, they seem intelligent. I think it was Abe Lincoln. He's accredited to this anyway. He's accredited to a lot of things. He said, it is best to keep your mouth shut and let people think you're stupid than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. Hallelujah. We need to take some advice and be a little more quiet. We talk too much. Matthew chapter 12. But I say unto you, every idle word. The word idle there means non-prosperous. It has no real use. It doesn't have any value to it, okay? It's like the man that says, okay, well, we'll just talk until we think of something to say. Okay? That every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by the words, hello, by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Hallelujah to God. Unfruitful, barren, ineffective, worthless, dead. That's what idle means. In chapter 3 of James, we're going to take an in-depth look at the perfect man who tames the tongue, but that's later. But James uses the word perfect in several places here. James chapter 1, verse 4, other places. Let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect, entire, and wanting nothing. And goes on to say, if you're going to be perfect, you're going to be complete, you're going to be whole, tells us we need to tame the tongue. Do you remember Colossians? We visited Colossians not long ago, for quite some time. Chapter 3, verse 8 tells us that we need to be able to control our tongue. If we can, we can control the other problems. Hallelujah. We'll talk more about that as we get into chapter 3 of James. Verses 19 through 20 in James says we need to be slow to wrath. Hallelujah. It wasn't hard to find pictures on the internet of anger. Hallelujah. If you're that basketball player, you understand that. And family, kids squabbling, we never have that here, right? Hallelujah. Couples yelling and screaming. We're told to be a good communicator, we need to be slow to wrath or to have anger. It's a root word. Amen? It's the natural impulse of anger, and it signifies the strongest of all passions. Now, why do I take time to say that? I want you to understand there are many things in our life that we can use our own strength and overcome. People without Christ overcome many of their passions, okay? I don't recommend it, but it can be done. This here, anger, and I got to say something to the males here in this auditorium. Anger, I have been told, and I can only say amen with shame, is about the only emotion that males feel comfortable with. We feel that yelling and screaming and stomping or whatever we do, we think that's okay. Hallelujah. Anger is a strong, strong passion. Think of any other passion you want to. It's a very strong, strong. The word here also has another meaning. It means it's a more agitated, the word used here, a more agitated form of what I just said. With sudden violent outbursts, vengeful in nature. I really don't have to preach that. The kind of anger, when we're so slow to wrath, the word there has with it explosive outbursts. Violent. I'm going to get even. So y'all don't have to say a word to me here, okay? You just got to think about this. Just think about this for a moment. Someone pulls in front of you. Someone gets something you wanted. I'm going to get them. I'll tell you, as a parent, I understand that form of anger. Not towards my children, but towards people who have hurt my kids. I'm just going to say that right now. Hallelujah. If you're a parent, that's the time you really got to cry out to God for grace and mercy when someone has hurt your family. Hallelujah. It also means a provoked anger. It came from something. Amen? The phrase in James chapter 1:19, slow to wrath, is actually, I'm going to botch this up, so all you Greek students forgive me, paroxysmos thumos. It contains all of the aforementioned emotions and passions. It's a strong word. Okay? So, put away anger. Remember Colossians, I keep referring to, because it seems like it wasn't that long ago we were talking about it. Colossians chapter 3 says, now, put off. We were talking about receiving God's best, talking about being in a place where we could receive all God wanted. And he says to put to death or mortify the things of the flesh. And here's one thing that topped the list. But now ye also put off all of these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy and filthy communications out of your mouth. The indication here is don't submit to it. It's going to come. Your feelings are going to come up. Your angers are going to rise, but we're not to submit to it. Can someone say amen? 1 Thessalonians 5:9 says, "For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, his wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ." Anger is not God's first emotion. Shouldn't be ours either. We talk a lot about the fear of God and the anger of God. Understand something. God's love and long-suffering goes way beyond anything you may see as God's anger. His want for our salvation, his want for our well-being, his want for our peace way outweighs all of that. I won't say it's his last resort because only God knows what the last resort is. But God does not turn to anger immediately. Perhaps we shouldn't either. Hallelujah. Perhaps we should, how do we do that? Allow the Word of God to change us from the inside out. Going back to behavioral science, they tell us that this quality of wrath or anger, I like this. This is where the new and the old kind of blend in pretty good. Tells us that the quality of wrath or anger comes as a result of frustration, and most frustration, anybody ever frustrated? Hang in there, it gets worse. Hallelujah. Some people live in the state of Pennsylvania. I live in the state of frustration a lot, okay? But listen, here's my conviction, hopefully yours. Most frustration is caused simply by not getting your own way. Ooh, why did I have to put that in there? How dare they not let me have what I want when I want it and the way I want it? I'm one of them fast food guys. You know, I want to have it my way. Hallelujah. Do you ever notice, I won't ask you to explain how you would know this, that most of the time the system just won't give it to you your way. Hallelujah. The frustration, what do you mean you can't do that? All you've got to do is, no, Lord, don't let it. Oh, my goodness. Y'all can think about that for a while. I've been stuck with it. You know, I didn't preach this last week. I had a week and a half to deal with this. Hallelujah. Glory unto God. Not getting you. So, the teaching here is to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Well, I know that, but how do you do it? Well, glad you asked the question. Matthew, hallelujah. Let me back up. I skipped something here. No, I forgot to type it in. Anyway, verse 21 of James chapter 1 says, "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness." We opened with that scripture. "Lay it aside. Receive with meekness." The what? The Word of God. The implanted, the engrafted Word of God. Grafting is something you do when you want to alter a plant and you add something to the plant that wasn't there originally. No, you kind of cut it and graft it and you tie it together. Y'all got to read some farming magazines or something around here. Hallelujah. The Word of God does not necessarily come natural to me. God's ways definitely don't come natural to me. But God said, I will engraft it. I'll join it to you and make it part of your original plant. I'll make it part of your growth. Hallelujah. Whether you realize it or not, what you're listening to, what you're reading, what you believe affects your growth. If you're reading all left-wing stuff, you're going to grow towards the left. If you're reading right-wing stuff, you're going towards the right. I can tell you within 5 minutes of talking to you what news station you listen to. Well, why is that? Because we're influenced by all these things. Amen? I have people look at me in my face and you better stop watching Fox. Well, he's not talking about a woman. He's talking about the cable TV show. Oh, hallelujah. I said, it could be worse. I could be watching the Communist News Network. Hallelujah. I didn't say that. Take that off the tape. Get rid of uncleanliness. Rampant outgrowth of wickedness. Do you understand that if wickedness in our thoughts and our actions and our angers, if it's not checked, keeps getting worse and worse? Do you understand this? Young people, I try to teach this in your schools. This one's free. I won't even come to school to bug you to do it. If you don't deal with the anger the first time or the wrongdoing the first time, second time it becomes easier. Third time is easier yet. After five or six times, you don't even think about it anymore. You just start doing stuff. You got to deal with it. Amen? We as Christians are called to deal with the Word of God. Filthiness is the dirtiness, or it's the opposite of being clean. Hallelujah. Naughtiness. I don't know if you're mature enough to hear this. Okay, I'm going to tell you what. Anybody here know any Spanish at all? If you're anything like me, you know Spanish you shouldn't know. The word naughtiness from King James, the Greek is kaka. I want you to think about that for a moment. Kaka. In Spanish, caca is waste material. It's what you flush down your toilet. Why would God say, set aside caca? Why would he say, set aside? That's pretty descriptive, if you ask me. Hallelujah. Chapter 5 of Galatians. Sorry, I missed some here. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things. What things? The ability to overcome, the ability to control, the ability to remain sweet, the ability to not to get frustrated because you don't have your own way. Hello. You mean that happens automatically? Nay, not. No. You got to work at it. It's got to grow. It's got to grow inside of us. Amen? As we grow, I got to mix up. That's my fault. Galatians chapter 5, 22 through 23 talks about growth. Fruit, we've said this before, is the result of a seed. Any fruit, a grape, oranges, apples, seeds, that's fruit, okay? The seed is the engrafted word of God. Hallelujah. Does that make any sense? The Bible, the words you're reading, is the seed. But here's what happens. The fruit of the Holy Spirit, what comes from a seed. That's why you're sitting up there. I hear this microphone going in now. You got a battery for me, don't you? Hallelujah. The work which his presence within accomplishes. God's presence in you does this. It brings love, gladness, peace, patience, and even temper, forbearance, kindness, goodness, benevolence, faithfulness, gentleness, meekness, humility, self-control. How am I supposed to have all of these things? By allowing the Word of God to grow within us. Now let me just be a little flippant here and say, if you're not reading, if you're not taking it in, you're not planting seeds. I know Brother Dave over there is other. Anybody have a garden this year? Okay. Did you or did you not put seeds in the ground? I can tell you how to tell if you didn't. You have no fruit. If you're standing in your backyard saying, where's the corn? You didn't plant it. If you didn't plant it, well, I just believe in supernatural. Let me know how that works out for you when you're hungry in the middle of wintertime. You got to get the seeds in there. Amen. It's the same thing with our mercy. You got to have seeds. Hallelujah. Self-control, self-restraint, continence against such things. There is no law that can be brought as a charge. Hallelujah. If we are able, sorry, buddy, I didn't make it 45 minutes, but I'm close. I'm almost done. Hallelujah. I never know how long these things are until I upload them on the computer and it tells me. Hallelujah. Our clock broke a long time ago. I don't care. Praise God. Where was I? As we become more and more possessed by the Holy Spirit, the overflow of our life will not be that filthy naughtiness that talked about by James. Hallelujah. I got something in my mind that I cannot say, but you won't be full of the things that God said in James is in there. Y'all figure that out. Remember what I said a couple minutes ago. And if you don't know, go back on the internet and listen to it. James, here's the key. Here's the key. Chapter 1, verse 21. The whole key to how to get over the anger, the whole key of how to communicate, the whole key to be able to speak to people with love and mercy, with wisdom and kindness, is first of all, get rid of the filth and evil in your lives. See, I can't help but say it. We seem to think, I've preached this for a couple of months straight. I got to say it again. We seem to think we can take all this goodness of God and add it onto all the nastiness of the human condition. that there's got to be an exchange. You got to be empty something out before you can fill it up. Is that hard to understand? If you're not getting that, go home today and take a glass of water, fill your glass of water. When it's all filled to the top, try to pour more into it and see what happens. It won't take it. It spills all over. You got to empty something out. We are told by the Word of God to lay aside, to put aside, get rid of filth and evil in our lives, and humbly accept the Word. Do I need to say the word humble again? How many times, I'm not going to look at you. How many times do we read something or hear the preacher? When Brother John was here a couple weeks ago, he said something. I hope I didn't let my face show, because, boy, it hit me right in the middle of my soul. Hallelujah. And I said, how dare he say that? I was miffed. You should know the truth, and the truth will make you mad. But then it made me free before the day was out. Hallelujah. We have to have a humility. When God says you got to stop doing that, say, I'm going to do it anyway. Well, okay. Hallelujah. I'm not going to say too much. All I know is what I see on people's faces every once in a while. Hallelujah. You know, it's always cool when God talks to us, unless he tells us something we don't want to hear. Anyway, hallelujah. Get rid of all that. This is the key. If we're able to receive the planted, the engrafted word, we must first listen to the written word. Well, how do I know if that was God? Does it match the written word? I will give you a guarantee, which is as good as any guarantee these days. But here's the guarantee. If you're hearing something from God that's totally against the word, you're not hearing it from God. That's not my theology. That's not legalism. That's just plain Christian sense. Why would God say, thou shalt not, and then come around and say, but in your case, I'll make a difference? Hello. Am I still going? Okay. Once we receive the written word, then we must also be open to the revelation and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Now Mark, I said, you got to understand the written word before the revelation comes. If you're getting revelation, it's not from God. When I first got saved, I didn't know what the word cult meant. But there was a man on TV, I will not mention his name, but Herbert W. Armstrong was on TV, and he came on, and I got this. This is like the third day I was saved. I got it immediately. It just, what he said made no sense at all. He says, no one knows who the four horsemen of the apocalypse are, but tonight I'm going to tell you. Click. I didn't even know anything except that Jesus has just saved me a couple days ago. That was enough. That was enough. Hallelujah. There's no revelation outside the Word of God. Now, you may need revelation about the Word of God. Let me tell you what revelation is for you, all those who are nervous. You're reading something in the Word. I've done this. I've been reading this Word for 30-some-odd years. Every once in a while, I'll be reading those on, boom! It jumps up in my face and says, it's like a screaming at me, Brother Jeff. It's screaming at me. And for the first time in maybe 35 years, I get it. I thought I had it before, but I get it. I own it, sister. It jumps up, and now I own it. That's revelation. That's when God has said, George, have you ever considered this? Boom! The mind opens up, and God dropped. That's revelation. Amen? If you have a revelation who the fifth man, fifth, there it goes. If you have a revelation that there was a fifth man, or the fifth horseman of the apocalypse, feel free not to ever share that with anybody. Amen? Glory unto God. So, if we're able to receive the word, it'll change us. I seen something on the news. I'm sorry to bring politics in there, but I just got to say this. It's so demonstrated, this whole idea of what the Word of God does in us. I was watching a news conference. Why I was watching this person, I don't know. I don't even care for this person. Whose name I should mention, but she is the Speaker of the House of Representatives. No names. But she was speaking to a so-called Christian group. And I say so-called because I don't remember who they were. But here's what she was saying. Someone had asked her a question about the word. W-O-R-D, the Word of God. And she went into this whole thing of how she believes in the Word of God, and the Word is so important. The Word helps her govern. The Word helps her do this. The Word helps her do that. And God had one of his terrorists in the group. And this little woman on the side says, "Excuse me, Miss Speaker," so "do you actually believe the Word became flesh?" "Oh, I certainly." And she went on this whole religious rant. And that same little girl raised her hand and says, "Miss Pelosi, could you please tell me this?" What's that? I says, "When did the Word become flesh? Was it at the moment of conception or at the moment of?" The grand and glorious speaker said, "That's a question for the church. Let's move on." What happened? We're relying on the Word for making your decisions. What? Anyway. You got to face that way. We say we believe in the Word, but is it influencing our actions? We believe in the Word. Is it influencing our decisions? I would sincerely hope so. You know, yesterday morning in the prayer meeting, one thing I just had to pray a couple times over is, Lord, increase our influence. The Christian community, we have an influence. We have a sphere of influence. Where does you work? Where does you shop? Where does you hang? That's your sphere of influence. You have a sphere of influence over there in that hospital. You have a sphere of influence in that factory. Wherever it is we go. Hallelujah. You got that battery? There we go. Hallelujah. For those who are on the tape who can't see how foolish I'm being here, I had to put a new battery in my microphone. We say we believe the Word of God, and then we go ahead and make decisions that are totally contrary to everything that God tells us. This is what I've tried to preach here for the longest time. I'm going to keep coming back to this point over and over and over and over and over and over again. We need to take in the Word of God, which will affect our decision-making processes, which will cause us to react a better way. We need to apply that, and others need to see it. The people in those aforementioned places need to see the Word of God made flesh. Now, I'm doing a play on word here. I'm not talking about the incarnation of Christ, but then again, I am, because I'm talking about Christ being incarnate in you. Hallelujah. How do people know you're Christian? Because you wear a cross, you carry a Bible, because you say glory, hallelujah all the time? Or is it because they can see in us through our decisions, through our communication, the way we talk? Are we screaming? Are we yelling? Are we being belligerent? Are we frustrated all the time? Are we angry all the time? Hello? Can they judge by what's coming out of our mouth that we have been in the presence of Jesus Christ? Here it comes, brother back there. Ending statement. The Word becomes vital and powerful and alive as we allow the Holy Spirit to implant God's Word in us, but we must receive it with meekness and not anger. Hallelujah. Verse 18, again from the Amplified Bible. We've read it before. I'm going to read in closing. I don't know why this won't. There it goes. The Word becomes vital and powerful. Hallelujah. Understand this, my beloved brethren. Let every man, woman, child, boy or girl, be quick to hear, a ready listener, slow to speak, slow to take offense and to get angry. For man's anger does not promote the righteousness of God, his wishes, and his requirements. So get rid of all uncleanliness and the rampant outgrowth of wickedness. And in a humble, gentle, modest spirit, receive and welcome the Word, which implanted and rooted in your hearts, contains the power to save your soul. Let's bow our heads. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we come before you, Lord God, because we can come before no greater. And all of us come, Lord God, with whatever level of frustration and angers that we presently operate in. We hold ourselves before you, Father God, not for judgment, but for correction. Say, Lord, we don't want to be this way. Father, may we be like Jesus, who only spoke the things he heard his Father say and only did the things he seen his Father do. Father, I pray for each and every one of us that the Word of God, which has been planted inside of us, I pray it would grow and influence the way we think, the way we speak, and the way we communicate. Before we open our mouth, let us collaborate with you. Cause us to ask your opinion and direction. Lord, let us understand that as we open our mouth, many in the world are listening. Those who are hopeless and helpless. And if we do not present ourselves as being different, they have no hope themselves. Father, may we be the living epistles the Apostle Paul talked about. May people read our lives like a book. And may they see Jesus, on every line and every page. Help us today, Father God, as we go forth to be aware of our mouths, to be aware that we can bless or we can curse. And let us make the choice to be people of blessing, speaking positive, speaking healing. Hallelujah to God. Father, let us influence those around us, giving hope to the hopeless, casting light in darkness. Hallelujah. Make us aware that everyone truly does hear us. The children around us, the adults, our families and friends. Let us realize when we speak to the girl who's checking out our groceries and the man who's pumping our gas, that they may need to hear, they do need to hear, the love and mercy of Jesus in our voice. Let us be aware of that, Lord. Help us to use the Word of God to make our decisions in every single thing we do. In Jesus' name, amen.